gentlemen, welcome to our show. Where are they now? Good morning, Artie. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today?
Our engineer.
Yeah, he's running around.
And we got two great guests in our studio this morning. I'll let Artie introduce them.
Okay, before we get going.
Welcome, everybody.
Nikki, how are you feeling with your knee?
Well, pretty bad. So,
is this the second time they worked on your knee?
No, it's going to be number 3 coming up, so I'm not going to be here for a couple.
So you're going 3
shows.
For a dollar? What's this thing? What kind of health plan do you have? 3 times the same knee?
I got great insurance.
Well, what kind of doctor is that? Forget
about
it.
That's what I want to question. So, not, you know, but I don't have time for the second opinion because I'm going to surgery on Wednesday. He wanted me there Monday, and I refused it. So.
You all remember Betty White? She said, get at least 8 hours of beauty sleep every night. 9 if you're ugly.
4 hours
from Betty White.
Sleep. 4 hours a night.
I like that, Ari. I like that.
Remember that some of the best times of your life haven't even happened yet. Even you over there, we're going to talk about all those good stuff.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And we'll talk about that later. Oh, and does anybody know why you should always order ginger ale on a flight? Don't you put something in it? You're going on a flight. What? You're just going to get plain ginger ale?
Good. You know, it's
Is it
refreshing.
Help the stomach? What does it do?
Yeah, it's refreshing.
It settles your stomach. Ginger ale does settle your stomach.
It's refreshing.
And
the last thing, I have a way to block all these telemarketers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We used to do it all the time. Here we go. You get the old dial-up phone, take it off, and put it on the wall. Here we go.
Perfect.
Huh?
Sounds good to me.
No more.
Some of the phone companies did stop letting dial-ups come in. Unless you have an existing dial-up in your house already, they took out dial-up. They will not allow new installation of dial-up.
Wow.
For residential. Businesses are different.
Yeah.
All right. We got the cameras on. We got the gentleman here. And let's get started. Quote, if the environment goes, we all will go. And we're going to have a recap on the 2024 solar eclipse. And I have some questions for you both gentlemen. Okay. They're professors, environment experts, colleagues, and authors. The new book is called Prognosis Disaster, How Climate Change and Disease Will Ruin Your Life. And other things, too. Unless... I want to know what that unless means.
You bet. All right,
let's welcome today's guest, David Arrietty. Did I say that? There we go.
Spaghetti. David, welcome.
Spaghetti. And Jacob Neva.
Yes, sir.
Jacob. I did that okay. I can go home now.
That's fine. I know.
Gentlemen, good morning.
We're happy to have you both with us.
Our dial-up is not up yet, but that's okay. We'll fix that, too.
We're thrilled to be here, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, good. Who wants to go first? Your bio?
Yeah, I'll go
all
first.
All the good stuff.
Okay. Me, and I'm Dave Arrietty.
Dave, to interrupt you, remember, at the end, your favorite sports team.
Oh, right. I'll tell you after I finish. Well, I'll tell you in the beginning. So I don't forget. Since I'm from New York, that's right. I was born in New York. We spell it YAWK. I was born in 1945, and my favorite team is the New York Yankees. Even though I've been living here now for about 35 years, I'm still a Yankee fan.
All right, say coffee. Let me hear if you got that accent. Coffee.
Hello there. New York. I'm from
coffee.
New York.
That's right. Okay. Okay.
I lived in Manhattan.
Keep going. So,
okay. I like that.
So anyway, I went to the University of Denver for a BA, and then I did work in Israel, working on the Sea of Galilee. That's where a certain famous person walked on the water, but I won't go into the detail. And I was there for almost 3 years doing work with algae. And since then, I came back to the United States, where I got a master's degree from Long Island University in marine science, and I've been working with algae, doing research with algae, and also teaching environmental science, biology, and animal behavior at a number of colleges in the Chicago area, where I began in 1984, and I'm still there now. I've been teaching for over 37 years here in Chicago and about over 40 years in my career. And during that time, myself and Jacob Neve, who you will see in a few minutes, we were colleagues on 3 books, the third one that we're going to talk about later today. So I guess without any further ado, I'm going to present my colleague, Jacob Neve, and he will tell you about his biography.
Okay. Push that microphone over a little bit for him.
Oh, yeah.
Or he can come closer to you. All righty.
Okay.
There we go.
Hello, everyone. I am Professor Neva, Jacob Neva. I used to practice internal medicine in my country, in the Philippines, for almost 20 years before coming here. That's why I was so familiar with all of this.
That's why you were looking at his knee, huh?
Yeah, he was giving, I have my second opinion right here, but I got to go to the Philippines to get
maybe
it.
Maybe at the end of the show, you can look at above.
Correct.
But if you look through one ear, it might go right out.
I know it will.
Being in a tropical country, I am so familiar with all of these infectious conditions and diseases. And I immigrated in 2004, and since then, I've been teaching in Oakton Community College. Now it is just Oakton College, and I'm teaching human anatomy and physiology. I used to teach also as part-time in, I think it's Bryman College before, eventually, and Everest College here in Skokie. And then I went to the downtown Chicago teaching medical assisting and Illinois School of Health Careers. But right now, I am focusing on Oakton Community College. This is where I met David, and since then, we have been friends, and we have already authored 3 books. The Earth is My Patient, then we have The Prognosis Disaster,
Volume 1, Second Edition.
2011, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then 2024, the second edition.
Have you been on any TV shows yet with this book?
Not yet.
Okay. We got to get you on there.
Yeah, we're going to have a book signing, though, on the 24th of this month over at Oakton College in the Plains.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody wants to come, we're going to talk about the book and why it's important specifically at this time with the environmental crisis. You know, and they say we've reached, unfortunately, a tipping point, which means that we're in trouble. I just heard today that they think we only have 2 years left unless we start do something now before the world goes kaput. Well, the environment, anyway.
The environment. The world is kaput.
Yeah, that is true. That's why I'm a sort of a fanatic saying, I tell my class all the time, look, you know, we have all this fantastic equipment and things. You know, we went to Pluto, took 9 years. We knew exactly when that satellite would be able to take pictures, you know. That proves we can do something. Here, all we see is war, more war, and still more war, hunger, famine, which
terrible.
None of these have to take place.
It's terrible.
If the humans
terrible.
Would put their minds in one place. You know, this really bothers me.
Nikki, when you get a chance, flip to the back of your book just before your canine. I want to ask the professor over there. You're a nice professor. I got one of your syllabus offline. You're very nice to your students. He's going to show it to you there. Keep going.
Student.
Yeah, I saw it on the internet, and he'll find it there. It's his syllabus right after his picture. Nikki?
I'm getting there. Man.
Okay. I want to ask him, why are you so nice to these students?
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I see my picture there.
Well, we got your picture here, so we know.
There he is.
You know, this is our notes in the book and all that.
Uh-huh.
And there we go. David, I think this one was taken last week right here, you know.
Yeah, I should have combed my hair. Well, you
well, you're a professor. All the professors always have a fancy hairstyle, you know.
Some have beards.
Are we at the syllabus?
No.
Yeah.
No. Keep talking about something else.
Keep going.
Here,
Jacob,
but...
it's not there. Maybe I didn't put it in there, baby. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. It's right after the professor's picture. You didn't see him?
I saw him.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Okay, look behind there then. There should be a syllabus there. Come on,
there it is.
Yeah, probably.
Now go behind.
Oh, no.
Is that the syllabus?
I didn't give it to him.
Well, listen, let's keep
moving
our
program
forward.
But real quick, you're real nice to the students. You're telling them what they're going to do. After successfully completing the course, a student should be able to. That's very nice, you know.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. How about you? Are you nice to them, too, or do you get the stick out?
Well, okay, here's the issue. See, Jacob teaches an advanced class, you know, anatomy.
You
have to really devote yourself to that. I teach the 101. Now, I have some very good students, and I have some that, I should say, sorry to say, not so good.
Don't mention their names.
No, it's just that I don't think they study hard. That's the issue.
Well,
okay.
And but some, I hand you have about 3 or 4 which really study hard. In fact, I was impressed with one of my students. You know, I told the students if they watch 3 of my lectures on YouTube and they critique them, they get 5 extra points. A student actually finished before we actually started the semester.
Wow.
Because they called me up and I told them. So they worked fast.
What did we used to call that going to school? They were I won't use the word, Bobby Ray. Teacher's pet. right?
No, he wasn't teacher. Well, I like the guy. He obviously studies, and I think that's great.
That's good.
And he gets A's.
Both of you teach, give a curve when tests or things?
Yeah, it all depends. You know, I do curve it if most of the students don't do well, okay? Like, it poses me a problem. I just gave a lab test. Mm-hmm. We got, one person got 100.
Okay.
Another one got a little less than the others got in a C range.
Okay.
Because I told them what to study for. I show them pictures. I say, this is what we'll get, but I just don't study.
Yeah. Mm.
And I tell them, look, you got 5 days, you know, we meet twice a week.
In it.
Have you ever tried an open book test?
No, I don't want that because then, unless you limit my time.
I love it. You look at them.
You have to give them time. Open book, just 20 minutes. That's it.
That's it.
Because this way, they'll spend an hour looking up the answers. Yeah. You either know it or you don't.
Yeah. I went to school, University of Illinois. Yeah. I'm an architect. And we had a teacher back then when you could smoke. And once he finished his smoke, you had to turn in your quiz.
Wow. Yeah, they don't allow smoking in any room
anymore. No, they don't. But what the pressure on. Now, you work a couple jobs. Wouldn't you like to be, if you're taking a class on a curve? Because you hardly get any sleep, Devin. Tell me, would that make you more learning or no?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. You've been out of school. You're like, forget about it. I ain't going back.
Forget about it. Hey, listen. I always say that. Guess. I always say, hey, listen, because nobody listens.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Well, hey, listen.
Sometimes I've had disruptive students.
Let's ask the guest
this year, last year, they were quiet.
Wow. Let's ask the guest a question about the algae and the effects that the plastic have on the algae.
Oh, just, very good point.
Is algae green?
Not all of it. You even have red algae.
Wow.
And, but though they have the chlorophyll, just the red, which is a special pigment. And, and they still photosynthesize because it just masks the chlorophyll. Now, to answer Steve's question, right? Yeah.
That's Nikki today.
Oh, Nikki today. Yeah, sounds good to me. Here's the issue with algae.
The day.
Why do birds and other animals eat the algae in the ocean?
Good question.
And they didn't know that for a while, but now they know what happens. Algae grew on the plastic, and it left imprints of the algae, like pheromones or substances that the algae had. So the birds eat the plastic because it smells and tastes a little bit like the food they're used to because the algae grew on it, and maybe even algae is on it. That's why you'll see a lot of plastics in the stomachs of these animals, which is unfortunate, especially in the oceans.
Fish and stuff
and
like that.
One of the saddest pictures I've ever seen. Now get a load of this. This is incredible. A bird, he died. He's on land and decomposing. And what do you see? In the area that used to be the guts, all sorts of little bits of plastic.
Wow.
And plastic does not decompose.
Yeah.
It'll take millions of years. And this is something I'm glad Steve reminded me. You know, in the schools now, you know what they do instead of using chalk? They have the whiteboards. How do you use a whiteboard? There are two ways to use a whiteboard. One way, which is a good way, to use the computer. You know, you can write using your finger, actually.
Okay.
It's computerized. Mm-hmm. The other way is, which most schools don't and most classrooms don't, it's a whiteboard and you have to use the stuff what I call liquid chalk. You know, it's the colored stuff.
Right. Purple stuff. Chalk.
Yeah. You got all sorts of colors, which is good for one aspect. You can colorize what you write. But on the other hand, a lot of teachers leave the cap off. It dries up. It's no good anymore. You got to throw it away, and it winds up in the landfill, and it will never decompose. That's the issue. I like the good old chalk, because even if you breathe in the chalk, it's calcium carbonate. It'll break down. It's not so bad. And if you're short on calcium, you can always eat a few pieces.
We don't recommend that at home.
Oh, my God.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm glad you mentioned the plastic.
Well,
was just discovered.
Our pops, our water bottles, all that stuff. One, they went into this because it's more cost efficient, but it's hurting the environment, and we need to stop it now because now, one, it changes the taste of the pops and sodas. If you take a Coca-Cola in a bottle and you take one in plastic, it's a totally different taste.
Yeah, don't leave it outside because the heat, what makes the water bottle, even though it's not open, taste terrible. Because, you know, you get some leaching, which means chemical.
Right.
By the way, with the plastics, there is one good thing you can do. These bottles are made out of peat, polyethylene terephthalate. It has the code PET. Like,
you know,
Bet.
we have a test after this, Bobby.
And what they can do with this, they can make clothes out of it. I have a undershirt that's made of these fibers and polyester together, so they can make clothes out of it. And of course, they recycle. And the number two plastics, which are the high density polyethylene, they can make park benches out of it.
Right.
Many of the park benches.
True. And don't they make planks for decks, too?
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the one on, was it, the Jackson Park Marina has that.
Okay.
It's on 95th Street, I think.
All right.
At least it used to be. Made of something called DuraWood. DuraWood is not wood. It's plastic from the high-density polyethylene. And those you get from the milk bottles. You know, the old, the thick ones and the Tide, you know, the soap containers, the liquid. They're thick plastic.
Wow.
Those are high-density polyethylenes. That's a number two plastic. By the way, polyethylene terephthalate's a number one for the recycling code. Yeah.
Tell me what's happening to our lake. Is it raising? Mm-hmm. Are we losing our lakefront? What's happening
out
there?
Well, it depends on the rain. I don't know. I haven't done research on that. But
Jacob, do you know, Professor?
No.
Okay, that's all right.
It depends on the rain and stuff. And by the way, one good thing about the lakes, remember Lake Erie caught on fire? A number of years ago. Now we've cleaned that up, and at least we're aware of it. But still, I think there's some pollution going in there. The key is to prevent all this.
And I just read they're going to have a swim in the river.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Chicago River.
Not us growing up. We didn't even want to go to the lake at one time.
Depends where, what part. I don't think you want to go downtown Chicago.
I think that's where they're going to go.
Well, I hope they cover their mouths up or something. You know.
I think the problem with that is the Coast Guard's not allowing them to get the permits, but the city and the event coordinators are trying to do it. Coast Guard has not come around to it yet. Because there are reasons, as we know, the river is bad.
Oh, yeah. By the way, something too, I'm glad you mentioned, you reminded me, you know, on St. Patty's Day, you know, in the river, they call it a green. Now, I don't know of any fish that practice, St. Patrick's Day. I don't think they care.
Yeah, the fish don't care.
Right.
The fish have to keep their mouths.
I don't think they like swimming in green water.
Dave, the fish have to keep their mouths closed so they don't digest the dye from the river.
True. Right. Well,
that's true.
You know, it's funny you mentioned about the dye. I knew a person who worked in the chemical industry, and he worked with aniline dyes. And you know what his motto was? We dye for a living.
I never
forgot that.
That's crazy.
Bobby, give out our number. Let's see if we get any good stories.
773-763-9278. Again, listeners, 773-763-9278. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When they dye the river, the dye is on its surface. How far down does that dye go?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm sure it decomposes. It's probably a food dye, vegetable dye, so it's not toxic.
So it's not.
But still, you know, you want clear water. If you're a fish, you want to see where you're going. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
And what happens is, though, there is a form of natural green. That's what we talk about here. Algae blooms.
Yeah.
You could have millions of cells per liter of water. You know, and decolorize the water. That's the issue. And by the way, in my book, you know.
Put the book up so our listeners can
right
see
there.
It.
Yeah. Show right there. You'll see it pop up in a second.
Put the book.
Hold it up there.
So our listeners can see
it. There we go. Right there.
This is your third book now, right?
Yeah, third book.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this now. That's good because let's work backwards with the algae and then Jacob can talk about the diseases.
Got it.
Jacob actually wrote a lot about the algal diseases, you know, at my coercion, so to speak. But this is the issue we have now. This is one aspect of climate change where you have all these toxic algae blooms, both in fresh water, in ponds, and the oceans. And they're getting worse. And this is something we address here in the book. And Jacob wrote about the diseases we get.
Yeah.
We did the common ones, such as neurological, you know, shellfish poison,
paralytic.
Yeah, what's that?
Paralytic.
Yeah, paralytic shellfish poisoning. And then you have respiratory illnesses because of this. And
from the algae, huh?
Yeah, because they have toxins, hepatotoxins, which are liver problems, toxins. Oh. We get a whole bunch of toxins and
a lot of diseases,
yeah.
Toxins create disease. And
by the way, we mentioned the fact there's a chemical produced by a cyanobacterium, which is called nostoc. It's related to bacteria. It's believed, that it could be a cause of ALS and Parkinson's, you know,
really?
It's the BMMA, beta-methylamino-L-alanine. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very small structure, and it's like an amino acid, which is not one of the major 20 that we're composed of with proteins. It's like an amino acid, and that has been implicated in ALS. It's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, MS, or better known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Professor Jacob, how do we, other mm-hmm. than moving into a cave or something, how do we protect ourselves from all this?
Stop polluting.
Of course, stop polluting. And then, of course, we have your cars, electric cars.
Oh, yeah. Electric cars, yeah. Because they spew out hardly any. Since I've been here, I think talking for, as how long have we been here now? About half hour?
26 minutes.
I spewed out more carbon dioxide than the car I've had, I think, for 5 years.
Wow.
Because it's electric.
Yeah.
And it's, I love electric. And, you know, let me tell you something about the electric car.
Right.
Some people complain. You know, in the manufacture of your car, you're putting out all that carbon dioxide because you got to melt the lead and the metal to make the batteries, right? Mm-hmm. But I tell them, once the car is made, you don't have an exhaust pipe, and you're not spewing out anything.
Mm-hmm. How do you charge your car? You charge it?
Oh, there are three ways of charging.
Okay.
One, you can charge it in a plug like you have here in the studio.
Really?
Which, that's called a level one, but you only get 5 miles an hour of charge.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I go to the parking lots. That's called a level two, and you get 2 hours free. That's like getting free gas.
Really?
Yeah, most of the time it's free. So if I need 4 hours, I go to two different places. I follow the rules. I don't abuse.
Okay.
2 hours. And that's called a level two charger. You get 30 miles a gallon.
Okay.
Then if you're in a rush, you can fill it up to 80% of the battery's capacity in a half hour. That you have to pay for. I tried it once.
What is it? What do they charge for something like that? How much is it to do that?
That one cost, I think I did it once just to see if it worked in my car,
$25. $25. Wow. And how many miles did you get off of that?
You can get 80% of the battery capacity.
Okay.
Now, the mileage you get depends on the weather. Because if it's cold, you get a lot less. Let me give you an example. In the middle of winter, we have a meter that tells, like a gas meter. It tells you how many electrons you got, essentially.
Right.
I have, when it was cold, the max, it said 250 miles.
Okay.
When it was hot, I couldn't believe this. The highest mileage I got, remember, I drive a Chevy Bolt, I got 435 miles. That's what the meter said, maximum, if I don't use the heat or the air conditioner. Don't forget, when you use the heat and the air conditioner, you lose a lot of mileage. That's the problem with these cars.
So at home,
they don't tell you that when you buy the car.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you
plug
just
it
got
in,
an extension
but
cord.
But it's very
to plug
slow.
It in.
I could charge it, let's say here, to get 200 miles, maybe 20 hours or something.
Wow.
Well, 20 hours is just going to be 100 miles use. But if I plug it in the parking lots, that's what's good. I've had my car for over 5 years. I don't think I paid more than $500 or $600 because, you know, I plug it in sometimes at home. And then I go to the city hall over at Skokie, and there you can plug it in. But they've raised the price a lot, so I try to avoid it.
All right, Nikki's got a question.
Governor Pritzker just gave out $26 million to put charging stations off. So if you have an empty lot and you want to do it, he's wanting charging stations. So this is what he has out there. These are grants. These are $26 million to get more charging stations out there because there's not enough charging stations.
Okay.
You know, so if you look at some of these gas stations, you think about it, or if you have an empty lot, or an environmental friendly, it's a great business.
That's a good idea.
That's used up.
Before we go to our call, David, I got a question, Professor. What kind of maintenance do you have on your car?
Oh, very good. I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Good question.
Since there are very few moving parts.
Right.
I've hardly had any maintenance. Let me tell you, my car was in the shop 3 times due to recall. I think all cars get recall, but they gave me a whole new battery. Now, that's about half the weight of the car, and it's a lot of money.
Did you have any problems with a water pump?
Yeah, we don't have water. We don't
need
water.
Nikki, how many water pumps?
20.
Let's go to our caller.
All right, we're going to break for commercial.
Well, let's get our caller real quick.
All right, good morning, caller. Welcome
we'll
to our
commercial.
Show, Where They Know.
Roosevelt, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling in, Roosevelt.
How you doing?
Thank you, guys. Great show. Interesting show, as always.
You can't?
No. A couple of questions for the professor.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions for the professor.
Make it louder, can you?
Oh? Yeah, hang on. We're gonna hang on. We're just turning up his headphones. Can you hear him? Okay, go ahead, Roosevelt. Yeah. Ask your question.
Okay, a couple of questions for the professor. How you doing, professor?
I'm okay, thanks. Yeah, okay. We have two. I guess we're both okay.
We got okay. Professor. We got Professor Squared here today. Go ahead.
Back in the mid-70s, I do remember, I'm old enough to remember, that Jimmy Carter had solar panels in the White House.
Yes.
So my question is, how long do you think it's going to take before at least some percentage of our energy in houses, whether it's Chicago or whatever, because I understand that Germany has, like, at least half of the country's houses are powered by solar.
That's called photovoltaic cells, what you're talking about.
Right.
Now, first of all, go ahead, and then I'll answer the question, because I have a real doozy.
But you made me think of another question when you brought up the electric car. Yeah. What do you think about hybrids? And as far as the electric car, I understand, like you were explaining right now, I totally agree with you. There isn't hardly any parts. So when it comes down to the electric car, so you don't have to contend with the mechanical aspect of the vehicle. So first, the solar panels, and my second question is, what do you think of hybrids?
Okay, good question. Let me do the solar panel first, because this is actually a sore point with me. I'll tell you why. What happened? Jimmy Carter, by the way, I was at his inauguration in Washington because I was working there at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm proud of that. And Jimmy Carter put up that, by the way, the solar panels he had, I believe, was to heat up the water and not to make electricity. But nevertheless, it helped. If everybody, even in Chicago, as long as you have sun, you can get them to work. But what happened was we had Ronald Reagan, who was not an environmentalist, and he took them down when he became president. And this really annoyed a lot of people. And then I think it was President Obama that wanted to put them back, which was great.
Were they put back?
I don't remember offhand. Okay. Anyway, they were stored somewhere.
Okay.
And by the way, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Roosevelt.
Oh, Roosevelt, right. By the way, my middle name is Franklin, so I was named after Roosevelt.
Hey!
When people ask me what's the F stand for, I say, take your pick, either Franklin or Fabulous.
He's a good professor, huh?
Yeah, nobody sleeps in my class. But anyway, now, I like photovoltaics. They're different than the water heaters. They make electricity. Now, I live in Skokie, and across the street from my house, the neighbors put solar panels on their house, and I think they're very happy with it. I believe in them 100%. Now, I love solar. We have to get away from oil, coal, gas, and nuclear. These are all catastrophic for the environment in their own way. Now, as for hybrids, there is only one good thing about hybrids, and that, if you want to go long distance without stopping for a couple hours to fill up your car. And why do I say that? Because I have a brother, he lives in Virginia. Now, I go visit him every year, except I take the train. I like Amtrak. Amtrak and Metra have got me well trained. It would take me a long time to get to his house, maybe 1 or 2 days or even 3 days, because I need to stop and charge my car. But a hybrid, you don't have to do that, because you can fill her up with gas. And, you know, maybe you can get a maximum 30, 40, 50 miles on an electric charge. However, I myself don't like hybrids because you still have to use gas. And I think you spend most of the mileage is done by gas. You can't go very far on the electric, maybe 30, 40 miles.
Okay.
So you had a good question. Now, if you drive locally, maybe if you have a work, let's say 5 miles from your house, then you can keep using that as an electric. I don't think you'd even use the gas.
Right.
Do you own one of those, by the way?
My wife does.
How does she like
my
it?
My wife does.
Does she like it?
Oh, she loves it.
Oh.
Yeah, she loves it, yeah.
Wait, here's the question. Does she go very far every day? Does she have to go to work more than 10, 20 miles or something like
that? Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. Not even a mile. So
wherever she goes, she can use the electric part, right?
Yep, exactly. Like
all
you
right,
said.
Roosevelt, thank you. We got to go to commercials. Then we're going to come back.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Roosevelt. It was great talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll be back after commercials.
We're going to break right now. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Abbott Painting. Painting and decorating since 1973. Abbott Painting specializes in commercial, industrial, and residential properties. Abbott Painting is a licensed general contractor, whether it's a wall, ceiling, floor, cabinet, tower, deck, fence, or anything you can imagine. Abbott Painting, with their 48 years of experience, applies premium paint finishes or wall coverings that will exceed your expectations. Call Abbott Painting and mention this ad for a 10% discount. For your free estimate, call 773-725-9800. Again, that's 773-725-9800. Thank you.
Family Entertainment by JJ. JJ is an Arlingtonite-based family entertainer. He is an award-winning balloon artist and clown. He is also a very funny magician and a face painter who draws quick, simple designs to keep things moving. Ask JJ about his big bubble fun and his link to the North Pole. JJ will help you plan your party by using his years of experience as a family entertainer. Use JJ for birthday parties, corporate events, schools, and picnics. He also makes childcare, nursing home, and hospital visits. JJ has been entertaining children and adults of all ages for over 30 years. Call now for party planning and pricing. You can reach him at 847-483-4520. JJ is a Midwest Clown Association Hall of Fame inductee. Again, 847-483-4520.
Attention out there. Atomic Bingo is looking for show hosts with good personalities, great part-time money, and very short hours. For more information, call 773-805-1900 and ask for Ray. That's 773-805-1900 and ask for Ray. Atomic Bingo, always a blast.
Your neighbor prescription headquarters, Tarby's Pharmacy, 5933 North Cicero Avenue, 773-545-0500. We accept most insurance cards at Tarby's Pharmacy, from Fannie Mae candies, Hallmark greeting cards, office supplies, books, toys, sodas, toothpaste, drug items, newspapers, lottery tickets, toys, and so much more. Tarby's Pharmacy is family-owned, personalized service, open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tarpy's Pharmacy, your neighborhood prescription headquarters.
Teach your students the joys of science with DeNoyer Geppert. We're the USA's leading manufacturer of anatomical models for education, with a number of our products on display at the Made in Chicago Museum. From autographed anatomy to zoology models, we have something for all ages. Place an order online today at DeNoyer.com.
Limo-style private tours of Chicago's historic downtown, lakefront, Mag Mile, Chicago mob, ghost and haunted stories, historic churches, stunning architecture. Up to 6 people per tour. We pick you up and bring you back in style. For Chicago tours you'll never forget, call 312-841-2560. That all-important phone number is 312-841-2560.
Wiggly Tails is a daycare, boarding, training, and grooming facility for dogs located in Northbrook, Illinois. At Wiggly Tails, we are dedicated to providing the very best care for your furry friend while you walk away at work or on vacation. At Wiggly Tails, our staff is dedicated, trained, and certified by the American Red Cross in pet CPR and first aid. They will love and care for your dog as if it was their own. Wiggly Tails is the largest doggy daycare in Northbrook, and our philosophy places the health and safety of your furry child first. We separate dogs into playgroups based on size and temperament. All dogs are closely monitored by our loving staff. Have a day away and let your dog come in and play. For more information, you can call Wiggly Tails at 847-272-4141. Wiggly Tails, because dogs are family too.
Are you ready to hit your stride and to turn those frowns upside down? Say hello to MyStride.co, your ultimate companion for conquering bad moods and transforming them into pure positivity. Imagine receiving uplifting emails 3 times a week, filled with personalized tips and tricks to help you navigate through life's ups and downs. With MyStride.co, we've mastered the art of gamifying your mood, turning those gloomy days into opportunities for growth and joy. Harness the power of our magical formula, designed to guide you towards a brighter, more fulfilling day. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1. Open your inbox and discover your personalized MyStride.co email, packed with practical strategies to overcome any obstacle in your path. Step 2. Embrace the challenge and put our tips into action, turning each setback into a stepping stone towards success. Step 3. Watch in amazement as your mood shifts and those clouds of negativity are replaced with rays of sunshine and optimism. Join the thousands of satisfied customers who are already experiencing the transformative power of MyStride.co. So why wait? Sign up now and take the first step towards a happier, more resilient you. Visit MyStride.co now and start your journey towards greatness.
You want to feel secure, a sense of trust that will endure. Jennings' reputation rides with you.
Welcome to JenningsChevrolet.com. Jennings Chevrolet in Glenview is a family-owned business that's been serving Chicagoland since 1958. How has Jennings remained in business while so many of our competitors faded away? The simple reason is that Jennings delivers the low prices plus the quality sales and service experience that other dealers only promise. Every dealership pays the exact same amount to the factory for a new Chevy, but some dealers advertise phony low prices online just to lure you in. At JenningsChevrolet.com, every buyer qualifies for our lowest advertised price. The low price you see is the low price you pay. Jennings has one of the area's largest inventories of new Chevrolets and quality pre-owned vehicles. If you can't find what you're searching for, we'll get it through our express locator system. Thank you for visiting JenningsChevrolet.com.
Jennings reputation rides with you.
Welcome back, listeners. Hey, listen, let's welcome our guests back, David and Jacob. Welcome back to Where They Know.
Welcome, welcome. Where do you get the book at? Give us the book's name again, and okay, where can we buy it?
Yeah, the book is called Prognosis Disaster, and you might be able to get it from two places. Well, a lot of the book companies, especially Amazon and things like that, online, and Books A Million, I believe they have it, okay, and some others. I'm not sure about Books A Million, but I suspect they do. And then the name of the press, it used to be called Author Reputation Press. Now it's AR Press. They got it short, AR.
You know what that stands for?
Arietti?
No, Art and Robert. We started a publishing company.
It also stands for argon, the inert chemical.
There we go. All right.
Okay, now,
Bobby, you want to see who's on the
We got a caller. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to our show. Where are they now?
Yeah. Well, I'm here in Chicago at home. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, like I told your call screener, I've been listening for a few weeks, as I can catch. Usually I can at this hour. And I would recommend that people listen to the Where Are They Now show with Art and Bobby on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. It's a fun show. It's entertaining. It makes you feel comfortable. And, you know, sometimes it's intelligent, too. I mean, is it okay if I said that on the air?
Of course. It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
I don't want to have you get mad at me.
Yeah, say that again, because our executive producer is listening, and I want to make sure that we are very serious at times. Just kidding.
Yeah. Right. Seriously, you want me to repeat some of that?
Oh, please, go right ahead. We'll record it. We'll use it for a drop. Go ahead.
I hope so. Yeah, I love listening on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. to the Where Are They Now show with Art and Bobby. It's a fun show. It's entertaining. It's uplifting. And occasionally it's intelligent stuff they talk about, too. And it's about that early in the morning, so it tends to wake me up a little bit. It makes me feel good.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate calling in, Nick.
Do you have a question for our professors?
Well, I was going to say, regarding the all this big push for getting away from the climate-damaging type of environment-damaging type of things, anywhere from plastics to things that go into the air from smokestacks and all that. But sometimes I personally think, I'm 74 years old, and I apologize, but anyhow, But I think that it's too big a push, too suddenly. Like some people estimate by a certain number of years, boom, we got to do this by then or else we're going to have a serious, serious catastrophe. Well, if they get too many people too nervous and pushing, like the electric cars, there are not enough charging stations around. And you guys were talking about that. In Switzerland, they developed, even though it's a much smaller country and a richer citizenry, and also to get money from a lot of tourists, but they built charging stations all around all the major roads and everywhere where people would be going. And then they pushed for the electric cars. Second, you see, so first they made sure to, and they've had universal plugs. Here, remember, they used to have some charging stations along the highway would only accept to be plugged in by a Tesla car. Well, what kind of sense does that make? That should have been standardized and made universal. Whatever kind of electric car you have, that's what the government's trying to promote. That's what the people who make the cars are trying to, you know, have people buy them. But if you make a hardship on it between not enough charging stations and different kinds of plugs, that's going to be a problem, you know. That's what I think. I mean, you know, I went to Chicago public schools.
Yeah, let me say something about that. I'm glad you mentioned Tesla. Here's the issue with Tesla. See, Tesla can use both their chargers and the ones I use because they have an adapter they can put at the end of the cable that they use to charge.
Okay.
Where I drive a Chevy Bolt, we don't have that ability to do that. We can only use the regular chargers, where Tesla can use both, the ones I use and the ones they do, because they have a charger. And I always wondered, why doesn't Tesla give us a charger that we could put at the end of their hose?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
That's a good point.
And I noticed this a lot, because I go to the parking lot near where I live. We have two chargers, and I always see a lot of Teslas. In fact, there was a new guy. He showed up, and I happened to be there, too. We can have two. And he didn't know he had the adapter. It was a brand-new Tesla.
Wow.
So he was trying to fit it. I said, look, I think, is this a new Tesla? He says, yeah. Well, look in the trunk of your car. You should have an adapter. He didn't know it was there till we opened up the trunk.
Nice.
We put it out. He's put it in, and it worked beautifully.
Great. Oh. Nicky, you got a comment?
Well, I got a question. I mean, I want to know what the Professor Nieves did on the book as far as what his contributing fact was.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank
All right,
you.
Nick, thanks so much for calling in.
Great talking to you.
Have a great week.
Thank you. I love your show.
All right. Love your show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, with regards to the question of Nick, you know, there are about 318 infectious diseases in mankind.
Wow.
The world, you
know? Wow, that's
a lot. But 58% of this can be attributed to climate change, which is about 218.
Wow, 218?
Yeah, 218. Not to take away from it, but do you think COVID was part of this environment or no?
Yeah, partly.
Partly, okay.
Partly.
We'll do another show on that. I think that would be good to talk about how the environment and COVID and all that.
Very important.
Okay.
But anyway, this disease was, classified by David, because I deal with all the diseases. Well, anything about environment, it is the...
Yeah, we put them together. So the relationships.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wow.
Environment versus doctor.
Yeah.
Let's do a cage match. Let's get you guys in there. What do you think, Devin? You're into wrestling? Go ahead.
Mud wrestling.
Yeah. Aside from that, we mentioned also those non-microorganismal, just like the heat wave, heat stroke.
Asthma, sunburn.
Asthma. All of these are mentioned here. And skin cancers. The three common skin cancers, malignant melanoma, basal cell carcinoma, and I think epidermoid carcinoma.
More vitamins, what should we do?
How do you prevent that besides staying out of the sun?
There are something that you can apply.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you are exposing yourself during to prevent sunburn,
okay,
that would help.
Do you recommend the 30, the number 30 suntan lotion?
SPF factor.
I'm not sure about that. Probably David.
Is somebody going on vacation? You're trying to get some.
By the way, speaking of that stands for solar protection factor. I think 15 you don't want. That's pretty low.
Yeah.
I myself get the 50.
Wow.
I like the more the
merrier. You know, you're fair skinned, so you're probably more susceptible to get burned.
Well, more a redhead would.
Yeah.
A redhead with freckles,
darker,
they're the ones
they
that
don't
would
get
be
burned so much.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. We got
about 9 minutes or so. Let's talk about the eclipse. How did it affect people?
Oh, very good point.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to mention there are a couple types of eclipses. There are actually a few.
Go ahead.
I want to mention The two major ones are a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. Now, what's the difference between solar and lunar?
Okay.
Well, the solar eclipse is the one where the moon gets between the Earth and the sun. And then a lunar eclipse is where the sun, the lunar eclipse is where moon is behind the Earth. Therefore, the sun will shine a little bit past the Earth, and you'll see sort of a reddish or a reddish ring. Not really a ring, but anyway, the moon will
appear. This?
No, that's called an annular.
Okay.
Annular eclipse because, well, let me just finish
Go
with
ahead,
this.
Finish.
Yeah. So we have the sun, and then you have the Earth, and then the moon.
Okay.
Just the opposite. And so the Earth is obscuring the sun, so the moon, that's called a lunar eclipse.
Lunar eclipse.
The solar
okay.
one that we just had is when the moon got between the Earth. It's the opposite for a lunar eclipse. And there are a number of eclipses, and the one that Art just showed me, that's called an annular, because you can see it's like you have a big hole, and then you still see the ring around it. That's
right.
called an annular.
Wow.
And and so that's the main difference. And by the way, something real interesting about eclipses. You know, Einstein had a theory, I think it was in 1919, somewhere around that time.
Okay.
That light will bend in gravity, okay? In other words, you know, normally you think of light going straight through. So they need to prove. So they actually proved it. How did they prove it? The best way to prove it is that you need something like an eclipse, and that actually proved it. They did the analysis, the math and everything, and they found that light really did bend with gravity. And so they had to use an eclipse to prove it.
Okay. Wow. And I was reading that it affected people in different ways.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Maybe. And, you know, okay. I think there was a theory, too, that when Jesus was crucified, there was an eclipse. I don't know. Did you ever hear that? I don't know. I heard about that. I don't know if it's true.
Okay.
But I think something to that. And then there are actually, I think, algae, which actually follow the phases of the moon. So they might be affected by an eclipse, too. Some of, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there in the world that we don't know about with the possibilities.
Yeah.
Got it.
Wow.
I have a question here. Someone text, please ask them how the U.S. compares to the Europe with the environment problems. Are they better than us?
I would say so for one reason. They have a lot of politicians and many of the European countries are democracies, and they realize the significance of a good environment. And by the way, Germany, and I think they're becoming to be incredibly ahead of us, I think, in solar energy, like China.
Germany? Oh, yeah. Wow.
I believe so. I think these countries are actually getting ahead because they realize that we only have one Earth. And when you have so many environmentally unfriendly machines like cars and things like this and power plants, that they have to do something. So, you know, you have to really praise the Chinese for that. I think they're really making
headway. Are we planning that we might mess up this Earth and we're going to the moon, and that's why the moon is getting its own time zone?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I never heard of that, but there was
Didn't you hear it? It was in the news this week that they're going to have their
they call
own...
It moon time, huh?
Moon time, you're right, MT. So are we setting ourselves up for something that in the future?
Yeah, sounds like possible. Science fiction, but they'll have to terraform the moon, which means make it like the Earth.
Bobby, who's on the phone?
We got another caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to our show. Where are they now?
Good morning. This is Al from Franklin Park.
Hi.
And I was, hello, and I was calling to talk about electric car charging.
Okay.
And right now, I know that a lot of money has been allocated to put in charging systems around the U.S. And, you know, I have one friend that told me that they were putting some in California and they weren't necessarily getting use. And what I'm thinking is that we have to make sure that we're charging along the highways where people need them, because most of the time people who have an electric car are going to have a Type 2 charging station at their house or be able to charge at their home. And, you know, we also have to have all the planning to get the power to these charging stations, because, you know, the ones on the highways would be the Type 3 charging stations. And so my question is, I haven't heard a lot about what's happening with that money. I know some has been allocated to the state, so I hear questions from people, you know, where's that money being used, and what is planning? What is the planning happening right now, and is there any place to see that?
Oh, let me tell you one thing. I'm glad you mentioned that. I think in President Biden's Inflation Reduction Plan, part of that was building more power stations.
Okay.
Now, to answer your question about the charging, I think now they're developing solar chargers, which means the solar charge will charge through the way they do it now, just the chargers will be solar powered, and you wouldn't have to depend on the piped-in electricity.
Why not a solar collector on top of your car?
Right, it's a good point. Well, some do now, but it doesn't do a lot of energy.
Got it.
My brother bought a Prius, and the purpose of the solar power he did was to run a fan when it would get too hot inside.
Ah, okay.
Which you need new development. And I can't...
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Correct. Well, but one of the problems we have, though, with electric cars is they have a limited distance.
Yes.
And so what's going to happen is when people get on the highway, they don't have a place to charge their car. So I would think that it our major highways where we're going to need the charging system first. And I'm just wondering if that's what the plan is, and how we would find out what type of planning is being done now. Because, yes, we know there's a lot of money that is already even been allocated to the states, but we haven't seen any thing happening yet.
Right. I see your point. And let me answer that, too. I think one good way to answer your question is we have to get development on a way to charge the car a lot quicker. Because if people, let's say you said the quick chargers, the only thing with that is it's quite expensive. There's one by my house, and I think I have to pay $25 for a half hour to get it 80% charged.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That's expensive.
So also, to charge the car takes a long time. And let's say you had the regular charger, and you don't want to sit there for 2 hours. If you're out in the middle of the desert somewhere, you would want a shopping mall or something that you can do something. But I've seen some people with the half hour, they just sleep in their car for a half hour.
Wow.
I've seen, which isn't bad. I've seen that. So,
all right. I got to
really
say thank
question.
You to our
well,
caller.
Thank you for calling
thank
in.
You. Thank you. And I got to say thank you to both of you because we got about a minute left. And Bobby, you have any announcements?
Well, just shout out to everyone. Be kind to each other. Happy birthday to our friends.
Okay.
And we wish Nikki the best on
his
third knee surgery.
Earth Day, April 20th. Don't forget.
Yes.
Earth Day. Next week, we got Stephen DeLisi in the studio with his guitar, and he's going to be singing some songs. He's also going to the International Pop Overthrow Music Festival, April 27th. And donate your eclipse glasses to South America. Send me an email, and I'll tell you where to go. And that's it. We love you guys. Thank you very much, both
Thanks
of you.
Thanks for listening. Our guests.
Are you working on a new book?
Yes, one about algae. It's called Environmental Phycology. The study of algae is called phycology.
Okay.
Phycology. It sounds like psychology. In fact, if you put the word phycology on the computer, it thinks it's smarter than we are. They'll put psychology instead.
Well, we hope you come in and talk about that.
Yes, thank you for
and
being with us.
And remember us
today.
If we take a class.
Oh, yeah.
A for effort.
All right, everyone.
Love you.
Take care.
Thank you, Debbie.
Take care.